next year is going to be my 30th anniversary of living in Baltimore. And I moved here as a young woman to attend MICA. I was an art student. So I'm an alum. And going back in time a little bit, I went to an arts magnet school. And this was around 1989. I was trying to figure out where I was going to go to school. So I was looking at Baltimore. Didn't know a lot about it. Had some friends who had been to Baltimore. Apparently it was a cool place. And I really hadn't made up my mind thoroughly about which school I was going to attend. In any case, as an 18-year-old, I was a little bit wild, as you might be as an art student back in the late 80s, and I find myself at a party. And I walk into a room, I'm with a group of good friends, and we kind of wander into this scenario, and there is a television blaring a movie in the party, and I become completely sucked into this movie, which happens to be John Waters' own Desperate Living. And I cannot tell you how mesmerizing and horrifying and magnificent that movie was for me, because I was tripping on acid. And I became completely entranced with the movie. And it is my favorite John Waters movie of all time, and that is partly because of this experience. But what I think I saw in the movie was the sheer pandemonium of what Baltimore is in the film, in the different places in the movie. There's Mortville, Baltimore, etc. Johns Hopkins plays a little bit of a part. So fast forward, I've seen the movie. I've been introduced to John Waters, whom I've never heard of before. And this is sort of a deal breaker for me. I think that's the place for me. So I decide to move to Baltimore, and I go to MICA, graduate. Life is excellent at this time. I'm in my mid-20s, and I had a great life, and still do. I spent a lot of time going to punk shows, going to bookstores, going to the movies. I even came to the Senator Theater back then, and I had great friends and did a fair amount of carousing. And in my mid-20s, I was living in Charles Village at the time. I've lived all over Baltimore in different neighborhoods. But Charles Village was my home at the time on St. Paul Street, just below 28th Street. So I am out one night with a really good friend named Erica, and we've been probably at the Club Charles and probably closed it down. And walked home, and we walk up Charles Street, as you would. And we arrive at the 2700 block. And because we both live on the same block on St. Paul, we take a right on 27th Street. And I don't know if you all know where St. John's Church is, but we're in that general vicinity. So we're walking down 27th Street, and I see something that is so incredibly strange. There is a man whose entire front body is in a bush, and it looks very much like he's having sex with a bush. He has fully thrust himself into it, and it's like, just, and I'm looking at him, and my friend and I are like, holy shit, like, what is he doing? And then we're thinking, is there somebody in there? Like, who is on the receiving end of this? And then I'm like, or is it just the bush? And we are both just giggling and laughing, but trying not to cause, you know, trying not to attract attention to ourselves. But we are just having a grand old time with this situation. And pretty soon we decide to, you know, kind of move on and let him do his thing. And we moved on to the corner of 27th and St. Paul. And out of nowhere, I hear what sounds kind of like a whoosh. And it's like, I don't know if I heard it or I felt it, but it was a moving object. And a moment later, this moving object has landed at my feet exactly. It is literally in front of me. I bend over, I look at it, and of course, as you do when you're that age and you're kind of drunk, I pick it up. And I'm holding this large object. And I'm like, look at my friend. I'm like, what is this? She's like, that's weed, Lauren. And I said, what? And I'm holding what appears to be several pounds worth of tightly, tightly packed buds of marijuana. And I am not at all a pot smoker. I am not saying I've never tried it. It's just not my thing. And I really am flummoxed. I don't know what to do with it. But at the same moment, a cop car comes racing up the street the wrong way up St. Paul Street. Then there's a man running from where the bush was. So maybe that guy, he's running down 27th Street. And then all of a sudden there's another man running from the other side of 27th Street. The cop car is going nuts and it's speeding up and around St. Paul the wrong way and whizzes right past me as we're standing there like dumbfounded. And, you know, several thoughts are kind of flashing through my head and her head, like, what are we going to do with this? And I'm like, I'm just, you know, flabbergasted. And so the next thing I know, there is a man running towards us from the north. And this is not the direction the cops were coming from. This man is running towards us, and I'm looking, I'm kind of in a little bit of a state of terror at this point, but not quite sure what exactly is going on. So the next thing I know is the cop car has wheeled around again, and someone is being put in the back of his police van. Not sure who that was. And the officer that was on the passenger side driving north on St. Paul the wrong way comes around again. His opens his door, and I said, here, officer, and I throw this bag of weed at him, and he's like, thanks, and then they take off, and I'm like, is that it? So he leaves us there, and we're just both like laughing hysterically, but yet kind of like, what's up with this guy? Because the man who was running towards us is still coming. And he gets to me, and he gets to me and my friend Erica, and he says, I would have given you $1,000 to keep your mouth shut. And I'm like, oh, you know, darn. And then... And my friend Erica says that what went through her mind was, no, you wouldn't. And I'm pretty sure she was right. And at the end of the day, we ended up seeing this same cop car pass again. And I spoke to the officer and I said, listen, do you want my like contact info or anything? Because I passed you that bag of weed back there. He's like, no, we're fine. And that's it.